This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A greeting I share with you every Sunday, and one that comes from the Psalms. We're going to be spending the whole service this morning immersed in the Psalms. Every aspect of our liturgy comes from one of the Psalms. And that's where we are in our reading through the Bible together as a congregation. And so I hope that the various Psalms that we share together will be enriching for you. I wanted to point out as we get to the middle part of the service, when it comes time for us to hear the scripture, our first Psalm 130 will be a sung and response. And one of our choir members will lead us from the lectern, and you can find it's the page number in the hymnal will be our guide at that point. So I wanted to give you a heads up about that since that's a little bit different. Okay. We're glad that you're here. Thank you. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you'll worship with us, okay? Thank you. We all do. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Take a deep breath. God is with us. Sorry? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, being in prayer for one another and for all in our world who are in need. We're here to worship the one true God who created all of us in God's image. And I'm looking forward to this hour of worship together to be reminded of God's presence with us. Thank you all, and let me share a few more announcements that we have as we gather this morning. First of all, I'm really grateful for the decorations that our Vacation Bible School children left for us to enjoy this morning. They were here throughout the week reading the scriptures and singing songs and having a good time together, and some of these decorations they wanted to share with us to liven up our space together as we gather. We also welcomed home our youth who were on the Wilderness Trail hiking experience this week. They'll be wearing their purple shirts, and they had a wonderful time in God's creation. A few other announcements. On July 16th, there will be a one-day new member class. So if you have been praying about perhaps becoming a member officially of the congregation, Shannon Baxter wants you to know that you can come on that one Sunday, July 16th at 9:45 in the Fourth Story Theater. If you'd contact him by email or let him know on a prayer card that you'd like to attend, that will help him know how to prepare. We have several celebrations that our nation is recognizing this week. Of course, today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to those who are celebrating that. And then tomorrow is the Juneteenth holiday. The church building will be closed as we take time to honor that day in our nation when the last people who were enslaved finally got word that they had been emancipated. It is a day of great joy and celebration for our nation, so I hope you find some ways to celebrate. There are some of us, clergy and lay delegates, heading to annual conference today. We will be in Memphis for the next few days, and we ask for your prayers as we gather as a denominational connection, and we know that the Spirit will be with us as we gather. We also know that the Spirit is with us here and now. Whether you are here in the sanctuary or worshiping at home, we hope that you feel welcome, that you take a moment to register your attendance on the registration pads or in the link prepared in the chat, and that all of us open ourselves to the Spirit and love of God as we worship together through the Psalms.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, all you nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. O God, have mercy on us according to your steadfast love. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us of our sin. You desire truth in our inward being. Therefore, teach us wisdom in our secret hearts. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and put new spirits within us. Restore in us the joy of your salvation and sustain in us willing spirits. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love toward all God's people. As far as the east is from the west, so far God removes our transgressions from us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
I will. soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord is plenteous redemption, and the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquities. In my distress I cry to the Lord, deliver me, O
Lord. We continue our prayer for illumination with an additional reading from Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not uplifted. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I would love to share a moment with the children. If you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come up and sit with me here, that would be wonderful. And if you're worshiping from home or on vacation somewhere, get a little closer to your screens and we'll spend a moment together. I'm so glad you're here. Come on up. I hope some of you were at Vacation Bible School this week. I heard it was really fun. Come on up. Glad to see you. Well, when you were sitting out there with your parents, you may have seen one of them holding up, or maybe you got to hold a red book. Mine isn't red, it's blue, but it's the same book. It's called a hymnal. And this is the book we use to sing from. All our songs that we sing. Is it black? It is kind of black, isn't it? And it's got my father's name on it. It's on Father's Day. It was my dad's hymnal. Isn't that special? So this is our songbook. These are the songs that we sing in worship together. We praise God. We ask God for help. We ask God to make the world a better place through all of these songs that we sing. Well, there is, in some ways, a songbook in the Bible. If you go home and you get one of your Bibles that you have at home and you open it right to the middle, chances are you'll land in the book of Psalms. P-S-A-L-M-S, Psalms. It's kind of hard to say. But it's basically a book of songs and a book of poems that people for thousands of years have used to sing and to worship God and to pray. One of the things I love about the Psalms is there are 150 of them, and there's one for everything. For when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling happy, when you're feeling thankful, all the things we can feel, and we have a lot of feelings, don't we? We can express to God in prayer in the Psalms. So, next time you're feeling sad, maybe you can ask one of your parents to help you find a psalm that will help you pray about being sad and look to God to make you happy again. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this book of songs that's in our Bible that helps give us words to pray and to talk to you when we're feeling all kinds of feelings. We know that you love us and you want to know and hear from us how we're feeling. So thank you for this book called Psalms that helps us pray. And thank you for loving us always. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or grandparents or friends. Those of you who have been part of this congregation for a little while may realize that we're coming to that time of the year when I start talking about camp meeting. So if this is your first time with us, or maybe you haven't been worshiping with us for very long, in July of every year, I go away to West Tennessee, Brownsville, Tennessee, to a family reunion that is a Methodist camp meeting. In 2026, we will celebrate our 200th year. So it's been going on a long time. And we gather for worship twice a day. We sing all of the gospel songs from the Little Brown Cokesbury Hymnal, if any of you are familiar with that. Some of them are still printed in shape notes. And we sing the same ones every year. So as a child, it didn't take long going to camp meeting every year to learn all the songs by heart. So I don't even have to open the hymnal anymore. And one of our traditions when I was growing up was that on the way to camp meeting, when my parents would pack us four kids up in the wood-paneled station wagon with my brother and me sitting backwards, you know how we did back in the 70s, we'd take off for Brownsville. And as we got down the Bells Highway and started to turn on Tabernacle Road, getting closer and closer to the campground, we would start singing some of those songs to get ourselves ready, to get ourselves in the mood for camp meeting, to arrive at that holy place for us. So we'd sing Marching to Zion and Love, Mercy, and Grace, and one of my favorites, On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. It's wistful, not wishful. To Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. You can sing with me. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with, what our song leader would do, with me, I am bound for the promised land. And it felt like that. We were bound for the promised land. We were bound for sacred ground, for a holy place, for a magical week of worship and family. And those songs were our traveling music. Having traveling music is part of a long tradition of the faith. We find ourselves in the book of Psalms this week. We are making our way through the Bible this year as a congregation, and we've landed right in the middle of the book, in the book of Psalms. And you could say that these 150 psalms are songs for the journey. They're pilgrim songs to take us through the journey of life. Whatever season of life we are in, whatever the state of our hearts, the state of our minds, whatever's going on, there's a psalm for us to travel with us in that season. But within the book of Psalms, there is, in the middle of the book of Psalms, an actual book of traveling songs. It's called the Songs of Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T. From Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are the songs of ascent. And the theory is that these were psalms that pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims, would sing and chant and recite on their way to Jerusalem. Many of the devout Jews in those days made that pilgrimage to Jerusalem, or tried to make it at least once a year if they could, for the Passover, for the high holy days. And the idea is that they would sing these psalms as they made that journey. Psalm 120, if you read it, begins in a foreign land where the psalmist is feeling far away from God and from the temple. And then Psalm 134, right at the end, talks about being in the house of the Lord, those who worship the Lord in the house of the Lord at night, as if they've just arrived on the steps of the temple. And then Psalm 135 is all after they've gotten there. Praise the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary. And they're there in the temple. And so we can see this little package of psalms as pilgrim songs, songs for the journey. As I prepared for this Sunday and thought about, of all 150 psalms there are to think about and preach about, which ones did I want to talk about? Selfishly, I chose my favorite. This is Psalm 131. It's a psalm that wasn't familiar to me until recent years. It's a short little psalm. I sort of skipped over it. But once I discovered it, it took deep root in my heart, and I want to share it with you this morning. But as I dug into some of the commentary about it, most of the commentaries I read said you can't do 131 without doing 130. So we heard both of those this morning. One of them sung, the other read aloud. Psalm 130 and 131, even just these two psalms together, encapsulate a journey of their own. There's a journey that begins in the depths and ends at a place of utter peace and contentment. So I want to take this little journey through 130 and 131 as we zoom out and think of these psalms as part of a larger journey and an even larger journey, the journey of life. Psalm 130 begins in the depths. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my cry. We can almost see the psalmist lying at the bottom of a pit, looking up at the sky, but unable to get himself out of the pit. He's fallen into the depths, and his only hope is to cry to God for rescue. Maybe you know what it's like to cry out of the depths. O Lord, hear my cry. I imagine most of us at one time or another have landed in the depths, whether through the loss, the death of someone we love, the loss of a job, the breakup of a relationship, a sense of loneliness and isolation, a struggle with illness or mental illness. Or perhaps we have taken on the problems and the despair in the world around us, and we have just got no hope left. And so we find ourselves in the depths, in the pit of despair. And so with the psalmist, we can cry out, as the psalmist cries out of the depths, we cry to you, O Lord. That seems the psalmist perhaps has been in a place of darkness because of his own sin, his own failure. He goes on to say, if you, O Lord, would count iniquities, Lord, who could stand? How many of us have been there too? The mistakes that we've made, the bad choices, the consequences, and we get ourselves in a place of shame and guilt, and we don't know how to get out of it. And here's this psalm for us to help us cry out. And then into the psalm comes this voice. It's a different voice. Not quite sure whose voice it is. I think it's the voice of the Spirit that says, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Offering that hope and promise that God will lift us out of that depth and plant our feet once again on solid ground, that God is with us in the depths, and God is the one who will pull us out and rescue us. And it's that line, O Israel, hope in the Lord, that connects us with Psalm 131, because that's where Psalm 131 ends as well. So we can imagine this psalmist being lifted out of the depths and placed again on solid ground, continuing the journey of ascent to the temple. And then we hear the voice of another psalmist, maybe, perhaps the same, saying, my eyes are not lifted up too high. I do not concern myself with things too marvelous and for me to wrap my brain around, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. What an image that is. A weaned child, a child who is no longer breastfeeding, who is now eating solid food, resting in the arms of its mother, not asking for anything, not looking for anything or needing anything, just resting in trustful hope and love. So to go from this place of the depths into the arms of a loving God who is like a mother holding a weaned child. There are some who suggest this psalm may have been written by a woman. The last line that says, "My soul is like the weaned child that is with me," perhaps suggests that. Or it's Father's Day, perhaps it was a father. But I imagine this person sitting on the steps, just about to go into the temple, taking a few minutes to rest in the presence of God after a long journey. It is an image of utter contentment, an image of being in a place where there's no more striving, no more asking, just being and trusting and resting. And I think this image speaks so strongly into my soul because we live in a world that is addicted to striving. We are all going and doing and achieving and trying all the time. We have messages and voices and advertisements coming at us all the time saying, "You don't have enough. You're not doing enough. You are not enough." And we buy into this messaging and we think, "Oh, I'll be happy if I could just live here, if I could just have this job, if I could just have that partner, if I could just. And how often do we simply rest and say, "I have enough. I am enough. I'm held by a God who loves me." What a radical countercultural witness we can offer to the world, my friends, if we can be those people who are able to say, "I am enough and I have enough." If we take the radical choice to rest and stop striving from time to time. I think that's the whole point of the Sabbath. God has organized this good creation in a way that gives us opportunities to work and to strive and then to rest. This rhythm of work and rest. We see it in the life of Jesus. As I think of this image of a mother holding a weaned child, I think about Jesus lying in the boat with his head on a pillow, sound asleep, while the storm is raging and his disciples are pulling their hair out, and Jesus is calm and centered and at peace. And there's something about these images that calls to all of us. There's something about this psalm that makes me want to ask myself and all of us, what are we striving for? If we think about the way we spend our days, the going and doing, what is it that we are really seeking? What do we think our destination is? What do we hope to arrive at? And do we take the time to stop the striving and let it all go and rest and abide? The truth is, we are on a journey. As the people of God, we are on the move from who we are to who God is calling us to be, to what the world is now, to what we hope and God hopes the world will be. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to be diving into the prophets, and they're going to paint for us a vision of the kingdom of God, and we're not near it yet. We have a lot of work to do as the people of God. And so the striving and the journey will continue. But we're striving for the kingdom of God above all else, are we not? And as we move on this pilgrimage toward the kingdom of God, as all of those Jewish pilgrims moved toward Jerusalem and moved closer to God and closer to each other, we too are called to move closer to God and to each other, and never to lose sight of the fact that we can also rest assured in the unconditional love and grounding of God, in whose arms we all rest. At the end of the sermon at 8:45, I sang the chorus of Bound for the Promised Land one more time. And Ed Zinkowitz, on his way out of church, said, "Do you remember the verse of that song, the last verse of that song? It fits so perfectly with this psalm. I couldn't even believe it. Let me see if I can remember it. When shall I reach that final shore? I'll be forever blessed, for I shall see my Savior's face and in his bosom rest." Amen.
Please read the affirmation of faith with me. You can find it on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who is created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge, our hope, and life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they are passed today. The Lord be with you. Please pray with me. Lord, we put our hope in you. We strive to see people in the way that you do, delightfully. We strive to be a light to people in the way that you are, confidently. We strive to love people in the way that you do, unconditionally. May we humble ourselves in each space that we find ourselves in, meeting others exactly where they are. O God, allow us to enter rooms without judgment and to save a seat at the table for our neighbor. While we live in a world with a lot of darkness, Lord, help us to share your light. Lead us to love when we encounter hate. Lead us to peace when we experience turmoil. Lead us to humility when we are faced with arrogance. Hear our spoken and silent prayer as we cry out for your mercy. We pray today for those who are hurting due to sickness, grief, loneliness, or conflict within relationships. We ask for healing, peace, and comfort to be found within these situations. We trust that your love is unfailing. Lord, we recognize that our lives have been changed because of your redeeming love. Guide us to keep this wonderful gift of love in our minds as we interact with others, in our church, in our homes, in our communities, and in our city. Help us to meet others with understanding, acceptance, and love. Lord, we put our hope in you. And we pray this prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
And so, my fellow pilgrims, the journey continues. May we continue striving, but striving for the kingdom of God. May our souls always long to be in the presence of God. And as we move closer to God, may we move closer to one another, ever deepening our love for one another as we rest in the love of God. Amen.